139, verse 13 and 14 says this, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And we just read from Psalm 139, that a great passage of scripture written by David that speaks to the preborn as God was weaving us together in our mother's womb. What is the question of questions? When does life begin? The answer is clear from scripture and from science. Life begins at conception as God begins a work. And so as Christians, we are commanded by God. And if we have a love for the Lord, we have a love for the creation of God, especially human beings made in his image. And so we're going to fight for the unborn. And we have with us today Dan Steiner, the founder of a ministry called Preborn. And they are a ministry partner of American Family Radio. And great things are happening in the ministry of Preborn. And I invited Dan on the program to tell us about it. So Dan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, thanks for the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate so much. So I got an email from Jim Stanley and saw the great things that have happened just in the first 6 months of this year. As let me read these stats to everybody. Almost 30,000 babies have been saved through Preborn. Almost 5,000 people have come to Christ. 4,993 have indicated a commitment to Christ. 35,788 abortion-minded women were served. 32 ultrasound machines placed. 215 clinics trained in evangelism. And almost 1,400 individuals trained in evangelism. So, Dan, let me ask you, I think people lose sight of the fact they saw Roe v. Wade overturned. What does that mean for a ministry like yours?
Well, it means that things have just got a lot harder. Now, we applaud the revoking of Roe versus Wade, a failed and misconceived piece of judicial activism that swept for 50 years, Jeff, in a river of blood, millions and millions, probably 65 million innocent, pain-feeling, little American babies, tragic horror on the souls of these mothers that regret it, most of them, for the rest of their lives. So Roe versus Wade was a failed tragedy for American women and babies, but the overturning of it is sound judicial practice that we applaud and probably will mean there's at least 150,000 less babies that will die this year. It was decided last year in June, so it's now been a year standing that Roe versus Wade is no longer the law of the land. As you might know, Roe versus Wade required that states cannot make abortion illegal. Now they can, and many have. And you're standing in one. Well, I don't know about Arkansas, but as you know, Mississippi is, I don't think there's any abortion clinics in Mississippi now where American Family Radio is. And so what we've got here is a wonderful setting of things right. We're now, the decision of what a state does is not mandated by the federal government. Each state and the people of the state get to determine through their elected officials what their stance on abortion will be. And what that means is liberal states with liberal politicians like California, New York, Illinois will ensconce abortion as a constitutional right in their state and protect it at all costs, even beyond birth in many cases. But what it means for conservative states is that they can severely restrict or totally eliminate abortion. And so what that means now for Preborn, to your question, Jeff, is that we have abortion taking a different profile. In states where it's illegal, they're mailing chemical abortion to women in everyone's neighborhoods that want abortions. And so the abortion clinic of today and tomorrow is a woman's bathroom in your neighborhood, a teenage girl's bathroom, mailed without the supervision of a doctor to these women. They can obtain mifepristone and these abortion drugs, RU-46, through the U.S. mail. So preborn is having to triage mail-order chemical abortion. The other thing that we're having to triage is abortion trafficking. So abortion-rabid states such as California are advertising in abortion-conservative states like Texas and Indiana, other states where abortion is severely restricted. Come to California. We'll pay for your abortion. We'll pay for your flight. We'll pay for your hotel. We'll pay to take you back home. We'll babysit your kids while you're having your abortion vacation. And so this is just a tragedy all the way around. It makes it much more difficult for us to save babies. Fortunately, preborn is a ministry that is very technically advanced. We are the leading ministry in reaching women online that are seeking abortions. And so we're reaching them online, having them reach our national call center, sending them to our clinics, triaging them with nurses online. And so that's where we get some of the statistics that you cited earlier from Brother Jim's family at AFR, that, you know, so far we've seen nearly 30,000 babies saved this year. 52,000 were saved last year, so we're ahead of the game.
Right.
And that's all because of listeners to your program and many others, Jeff, that love life and that help support preborn through their contributions.
Amen. Dan, let me ask you this. This doesn't make sense to me. So I know that greed fuels the abortion industry. So they make a lot of money killing babies. If a state like California says, come here and we'll pay for everything, it won't cost you anything, are they just that committed in killing babies? What is motivating that?
I think it's twofold. On the surface, Governor Newsom, the king of abortion in the United States, one of the worst governors on the face of the planet, is posturing himself for potential tapping of being the presidential candidate if they end up not propping up Biden anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in every situation going to the extreme to demonstrate to the pro-death Democratic Party that he'll hold no bars in promoting abortion if he, as a politician. So that's on the surface of it politically. Obviously, money, as you said, the abortion industry, Planned Parenthood alone, Planned Parenthood Federation of America, we're talking $1.2 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars annually. A third of that comes from you and my tax dollars. A third of it comes from abortion services. A third of it comes from their fundraising. And so it's huge money, huge money. It's a David and Goliath battle, like preborn against this abortion, you know, billion-dollar abortion juggernaut, you know, $1.2 billion annually of revenue. Mm-hmm. We're not anywhere, you know, close to that by any means, but we got God. But to really answer your question, and beneath the veneer of politics and money stands the real reason, and that is the prince of power of the air, the spirit that's at work in the children of disobedience, Satan. You know, Jesus coined him accurately when he says he's a murderer.
Right.
Satan's a murderer. And this is the sacrifice of Satan, Jeff. This is nothing less than the high and holy rite of the church of Satan to sacrifice the most innocent, pain-feeling, helpless, voiceless people on the planet, the unborn. And, any Satanist would reinforce this, and many have, that abortion is a ritual of the church of Satan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it really comes down to the essence of what your program is, your church is, the preborn is, and that is the answer to abortion is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And that's why preborn leads the nation. You know, the reason I'm doing this is because when we reach these women, we can share Jesus with them. We can lead them to Christ, and that's their greatest need. And that's the greatest real point, if you will, of this battle.
Amen. Dan, how can people partner with you?
Well, thanks for asking, Jeff. Certainly, they can pray for us. At preborn, you can go to our website, preborn.org, preborn.org, sign up to be part of our prayer team. You can support us financially. As you might imagine, we're up against a David and Goliath battle. However, for every Goliath, there's a stone, right? And so if you're a listener, you can provide that stone, and we'll throw it right into the forehead of the abortion industry through ultrasound. You can support an ultrasound, $28. Supports a free ultrasound for a mom. $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that'll reach thousands of women over the next 10 years. All of that can be done at preborn.com, or you can dial on your phone #250, and our operators are waiting. Say keyword baby. That's what we're saving, or baby, when the operator answers at #250. And you can become part of the solution. It's one thing, you know, to be against abortion, but it's another thing to do something about it. And right. Every one of us could underwrite an ultrasound, Jeff. Every one of us could pray. And some of you, you know, have the ability even to buy ultrasound machines. And so we just encourage everyone to do their part, because many in AFR and your program have done this in the past. Why, that's why we have, you know, the 30,000 babies saved this year, is because the listeners are engaging and we're making a difference, and I'm thankful for everyone.
Amen. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Dan, I think we would both agree there are no more needy people and defenseless people in the world than the unborn, and they need people to stand up for them and protect their right to live. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? So it's God's people that need to stand up and say, hey, we're going to fight this, and we're going to trust the Lord. Because as you said, Dan, it's a David and Goliath thing, and we don't have the financial resources, but we have the power of God on our side. He is for the life of the unborn, and he will stand and fight for us. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord ever present. He is the Lord of hosts, and he will fight for us. Amen. Well, Dan, we just have a couple more minutes. What is something that has happened recently in the ministry that has just blown you away and shown you that, hey, God is all over what we're doing in protecting the life of the lives of the unborn?
Well, it's ironic that I'd be on the air with you here today, Jeff, because yesterday afternoon, the Fifth Circuit Court in Louisiana affirmed the decision to make abortion pills illegal. And so we're praising God for that, because that could save another 140,000 babies' lives if, in fact, the Supreme Court upholds it. So the abortion pill is dangerous. One in every 10 women end up in an emergency room. Emergency room visits went up 500% because of abortion pills prescribed through the mail without an OBGYN visit. And so this is very significant that this district court upheld a lawsuit against the FDA, making this a deadly abortion cocktail of RU-46 illegal. And resultantly, if the Supreme Court lifts their stay, currently abortion pills are still legal, they're still able to be mailed to women, but the Supreme Court starts the journey to make abortion pills through mail illegal, and that would put a huge dent in the abortion industry. And so we're praising God for that. It's a fantastic thing, and hopefully it will continue to stand.
Amen. Well, you've been hearing from Dan Steiner, the founder of Preborn. You can go to preborn.com and find out more information and how you can partner with them to make a difference to protect the lives of the unborn. So, Dan, thanks for being my guest today, and thanks for all that you do to make a difference in the lives of people for the Lord Jesus Christ and to defend the lives of the unborn. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we are up against a break, but we will come back, and we're going to look forward later in the program to taking calls from you and hearing from you. So don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I wanted to share with you from Isaiah chapter 61. I woke up thinking about this verse, a very familiar verse, and something that I pray quite often before I go to preach. Isaiah 61 begins this way: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." We comfort the afflicted and we afflict the comfortable, as one preacher once said, as we preach the gospel. And then it says this, Isaiah 61 verse 3, "To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes." The King James says, "giving them beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And for those who preach the gospel who are listening today, that is a good block of scripture to pray before you get ready to preach, and just ask God to help you proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, so that people would grow and be oaks of righteousness. But I want to land on just those few little words, giving them a garland instead of ashes, giving them beauty for ashes. Some years ago, I preached a sermon series, and I entitled it Beauty for Ashes. And I just showed different parts of Scripture and different accounts in the Bible of people's lives where the Lord did just that, because that's the business that he's in. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to give beauty for ashes. Now, when we live our own lives and do our own thing, and do exactly what Isaiah 53 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, each one has turned to his own way." You know, rebelling against the Lord doesn't have to be shaking your fist in his face. It can just be saying, you sing the Doobie Brothers song, "Jesus is just all right with me, but I'm going to do my own thing, and I tip my hat to Jesus instead of bowing my knee to Jesus. And so I'm not out and out against him. I just want to go my own way." And that's really the heart of sin. When we do that, we always go the same direction, whether it's active rebellion against God or just passive indifference toward God. It's the same road. It's the broad road that leads to destruction. It's the road the prodigal son took. And there are some thrills and chills and pleasures and fun on that road as the prodigal wasted his father's wealth on wine, women, and song. But the road always leads to the same place. It leads to the pigsty. It leads to destruction. It leads to a life that is just ashes, that is just burned to the ground, so to speak. And all you have left is just misery. You know, we look at what's going on in our country. I often think of Joe Biden and the fact that he is president. How that guy got 81 million votes campaigning in his basement doesn't make sense. I think the evidence is clear that there were shenanigans taking place in the vote. And, you know, the idea the vote was stolen, well, obviously there were fraudulent votes there, and they had to be a lot of them. And you don't shut down voting places in the middle of the night and say, "Well, we have a leak," when there's not a leak, and we "you guys have to get out of here, and we're going to put up a blind so you can't see what we're doing." And all that stuff is just like, hey, I mean, the old expression, "I was born at night, but it wasn't last night." I mean, that's just ridiculous. Obviously, somebody is doing something unethical. And so you think about that. Okay, you cheated and you got in and you are able to skirt a lot of the laws in our land because they're rules for thee but not for me, that kind of thing. But here's the thing. What do you have at the end of the day? So what if you make a bunch of money? What do you have at the end of the day if you don't have a relationship with the Lord? I preached last Sunday morning on Romans chapter 8, and we talked about the flesh versus the spirit. Those who don't know the Lord, they're in the flesh, and those who are according to the flesh must die. And the life that is in the mind that is focused on the flesh doesn't know anything about life and peace. And one of the things that people want more than anything is peace. They want peace. Well, how do you get peace? You don't get it from the world. You don't get it from success. You don't get it from seeking sexual pleasure and going, just letting yourself go hog wild in that. Solomon did that. 700 wives, 300 concubines, girlfriends. And he had sexual experiences with over 1,000 women. Hey, is that going to satisfy your soul? You know, the whole book of Ecclesiastes is a search for satisfaction, the first few chapters especially. And Solomon didn't find satisfaction under the sun. Why? Because it's not there. And so what if you have a lot of things? So what if you have a lot in your purse but nothing in your person? And so what if you have all these possessions, but you don't have peace? And you're not going to find peace in the things of this world. Peace is found in a person. His name is Jesus. He is called the Prince of Peace. And the Bible makes it clear, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And so you think about these people that seem to have so much, but they really don't have much. And you may have next to nothing financially, but if you have the Lord, you have everything. And you have the Spirit of God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, who is living inside of you. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. There is tremendous power in your life as a believer. We just need to tap into it. As Paul prayed for the Ephesians in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory. The power of the Holy Spirit who works within us. And the Lord is the one who gives beauty for ashes. You think about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons the Lord cast out of her. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about what her life was like before the Lord, but you can just imagine. If you have 7 demons living inside you, your life is a living hell. I mean, you talk about ashes. She came to the Lord. She brought her ashes to the Lord, and He gave her beauty. And as she was so in love with Jesus, so committed to Jesus, so faithful to Jesus, what a testimony she was. You think about Matthew the tax collector, how his life was totally upside down. And he had a lot. Tax collectors made a lot of money. He had a lot, but that doesn't give him pleasure. That didn't give him joy. You think about even somebody like the Apostle Paul. Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, breathing out threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. He was so passionate about killing Christians, about arresting Christians, about stopping Christianity. When the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Did Paul have joy in what he was doing? Did he have peace in what he was doing? Of course not. He found joy and peace and love when he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Hey, maybe you're out there today and you say, my life is just a mess. I mean, I've gone my own way. I've done my own thing. I've done what I wanted to do. And where does that get you? Well, as I said, the road goes to the same place for every single person that does his own thing. The road goes to the pigsty, just like the prodigal son. You eventually hit a point where the money runs out and circumstances are such. There was a famine in the land for him, and no one was giving him anything. When the money runs out, the friends run out. because they're not true friends. And he was the only job he could get, attached himself to one of the citizens of that city, of that town, a Gentile, and he's feeding the pigs, a Jew feeding the pigs. It can't get any worse than that, but it does, because now he's longing to eat the pig slop. He's so hungry. He's longing to eat the slop that the pigs are eating, until, boom, he comes to his senses. And he says, wait a minute. My father's hired men. They don't eat pig slop. They have enough to eat. This is what I'm going to do. And this was huge, because he had burned his bridge with the father. He says, I will get up and return to my father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and he left the pigsty and made his way back to his father. You talk about eating crow. You talk about swallowing your pride. He did that. And you know, when you think about salvation, well, salvation is coming broken and humble to Jesus. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so we just spit on our pride. We leave the pigsty. We say, Lord, I have messed up my life royally. I have done my own thing, and my own thing has left me empty and broken. And you bring all the brokenness and all the emptiness, and you just bring it to the Lord. And you come to him in repentance and faith. And when you do that, what does he do? He gives you beauty for ashes. He changes your life. He wraps you just like he did with the prodigal. When he sees you repentant and broken and coming to him in simple childlike faith, he runs to you and he wraps his arms around you. And he doesn't let you say your whole piece. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. You know, that was what the prodigal was wanting to say to the father, but the father didn't let him say it. He didn't get to say all that. And so when he comes back, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father interrupted him and said to the slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to be merry. They began to celebrate. They began to rejoice. Listen, when he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, I like what one pastor said about that. He said, how do we become sons and daughters of God? It's not by worth, it's by birth. When we come to the Lord in brokenness and faith and repentance, a broken, repentant heart, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise, as David said. When we come that way, we are changed by the power of God. He fills us with his Spirit. He forgives us. He washes us white as snow. As the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, love this passage of scripture, Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Hey, I don't know where you are today, but God does. And no doubt there are many, some, but probably many, who are finding themselves at the pigsty. And they say, well, all I have, I've kind of burned down my marriage. I've burned down my family. I've lost my job. I got hooked on drugs. I have an alcohol addiction. My life is just a mess. The fires are raging. All I see are ashes. You know, we saw the horrible videos and pictures of Lahaina in Maui, and you know, you think about the ashes there, and you say, well, that's like my life. That's all there is ashes. What do I do with ashes? People say, well, I'm just going to go kill myself. Everything is so terrible. I'm just going to go kill myself. Don't do that. Bring your ashes to the Lord. He gives beauty for ashes. I don't think anybody's life was as bad as the Gadarene demoniac in Mark chapter 5. I mean, he's living in the tombs. He's naked. Nobody can come there because it's just horrible with that guy. And he's out of his mind. And what does Jesus do for him? He casts out the legion of demons. You know, he had a legion. We are many, the demon said. And Jesus cast that out. And that puts that guy in his right mind. And that guy, no doubt, put his faith and trust in Jesus. And he was wanting to come with Jesus. And Jesus said, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And the man went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis, the 10 cities on the northeastern side of the Sea of Galilee, Gentile cities, what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. Hey, he gives beauty for ashes. When we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I would love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a beauty for ashes testimony that you can share just very briefly, we would love to hear it. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are talking about beauty for ashes. Do you have a testimony that says, my life, I burned it to the ground, so to speak, with selfishness and sin, but then I came to the Lord. I gave it all to the Lord. I did what he said. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. And I did that, and I said, Lord, here's the mess. And God took that mess. He took the ashes, and he gave me beauty. You know, that's what the Lord does. That's the business that he's in. To Jesus said, I came. The thief comes only, John 10:10, to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. He came that your life would be overflowing with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Does your life have those things in it? The question is, if not, why not? That is available to every Christian as we let the Lord lead us and guide us. But I say, walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5 says, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And if you have just a short, brief testimony, we'd love to hear it. And just be mindful of the fact that there are other people, too. And so we have Robin on the line from Virginia. Robin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, and God bless you all for what you do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say I have two quick things. The first one is a quick testimony, and I know it's, you know, in some people's lives, it's very small peanuts to be out of work for 2 months. Didn't think I would have to wait 2 months to transition to another job. So my blessing is that I just started last week. I really am thankful in some ways. The time, I feel like if the Lord has us be sort of stuck and you feel like, what's going on? What am I doing wrong? And he does. I feel like that's what I learned. He just wanted me to trust him, that he would find the next right job, however, whatever it was. I'm like a George Plimpton, all these different jobs I've had in my life. I'm 63. And so to keep it short, about 4 years, I had been working on the overnight in a warehouse, sort of dealing with boxes. If you saw the truck, you'd know the company. So I thought, well, maybe I'll go back with them. And the Lord provided another type of job. So I'll do both jobs, full-time and part-time. But the day job, I'm washing dishes. And, you know, I never thought that I would enjoy just serving. And I realized the other day I was walking around, I'm like, Lord, my 45th high school class reunion is coming up. And I'm like, what should I say that I'm doing? And as soon as I said to him in my heart, I said, well, I love serving people. I'm serving people. A bug just buzzed into my ear, kind of like, you know, he put a bug in your ear. And that's never happened in my whole life. So I laughed because there is no coincidence. So I'm so thankful for my two jobs. And my next thing I wanted to say, because I'm 63 and I'm happy to be busy just serving people in whatever capacity. And there's a lot of high school and college kids where I can be just smiling and doing all the dishes in the back, right? And so my prayer request for a dear friend that I just found out this morning was that her mom was on her way to Hawaii, and this is a woman who used to be a insurance agent, car insurance agent, many years ago, and she's now in a wheelchair with her own health issues. But her mom passed away Monday on the plane over the Pacific, flying to her dream vacation to go to Hawaii. So your whole sermon today has been perfect, and even the previous sermons today since 5:30 this morning, I've been listening to AFR. But Mr. Pastor Shreves, I just want to thank you so much, because the words and the power of God's power and love through his words, it's so true that if we rely on him and we listen to him, because like the sermon, the verse that says, what, Matthew? I'm trying to remember, it's on my wall. 19:25, with God all things are possible. It is so true that if we get down to just releasing everything and trusting him, he does amazing things. And I just appreciate what you guys do so much. Amen. And amen. Just keep doing it. And thank you. The irony, I believe, in one last comment is that if things are happening with issues and people's habits, you know, with the human trafficking and all this stuff, I feel like God is letting us see that, you know, there's a supply and demand issue, and we need to reckon with what's going on in our world. So thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Robin. I appreciate that. Appreciate your comments and your encouragement. Thank you for calling in today. Well, we have Gail on the line from Texas. Gail, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. In July of 1962, I was walking with my husband out in the road in front of our home, and he stumbled. And I realized that he had passed out. I was able to lay him down in the street. My pastor, who lived next door, came, and we took him to the hospital, and he died there. I shed no tears. And I crawled in bed that night alone. I wanted to be alone and was just praying. And I said, Lord, I'm going to have to need a promise from you today. I got up at 5 in the morning, went out on my little front porch, and I said, Lord, I'm going to let the Bible fall open, what you have for me today. And it fell open to that beautiful 61st chapter of Isaiah. And when it came to this, I will give you beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning. And that was when I cried my eyes out with complete joy. Mm. And it was the most amazing thing that I have ever experienced, but I know what a day is to be in sorrow and to suddenly have the joy of the Lord enter your heart. And I have joy pillows all through my home here in Palestine, Texas. And I just want to say that God is so faithful, and oh, how he loves his children, and how he is there if we will just cry out to him for peace and joy. And I'm still teaching Bible prophecy. Almost age 91, and I'm still going and blowing for the Lord, and we are seeing the end time approaching so rapidly. And I thank you
for sure
for letting me give this testimony. Thank you so much.
Hey, Gail, you are 90 years old, getting ready to be 91?
Yes, in December. Yes.
You sound like you're about 45.
Well, I'm living here by myself. I still do my own cleaning and cooking, but I spend every day, first thing in the morning, in the Word of God and prayer until I've touch the throne of God. And what a difference it makes.
Amen.
So God has me here for this very purpose. There's not a doubt in my mind. And by the way, I have a Bachelor of Arts with a major in religion and a Greek for my minor. And I've used it all of my life for the Lord's glory.
Amen. That is so good. Well, thank you for calling in today, Gail. You've encouraged my heart for sure. And, you know, here's the thing. As you get older, it doesn't mean that you retire from serving the Lord. You have oftentimes more free time to serve and to make a difference. And he does, as you were saying, you start off every morning spending time with the Lord and entering his presence, reading his word. I was thinking of Isaiah 41 or 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. That seems to describe you just in the little bit I've gotten to talk to you. So God bless you. May he continue to use you until he takes you home or until he comes to get us in the clouds. I agree with you. I think the coming of the Lord is very near, and we need to be doing all that we can to make a difference, to point people to Jesus while there's still time. So God bless you. Well, we have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, brother. I'm just wanted to try to encourage Christians to get involved with saving babies. I call Planned Parenthood Planned Murderhood. anyone that claims to be a Christian and does not get involved, God will hold us responsible, mm-hmm. because God starts at life. He is life. So I just wanted to have that comment. We need to get involved in spreading the news of or calling Planned Murderhood to get brochures and have brochures sent to their home, and they can pass the brochures out against abortion. So that's what my comment is about.
Amen. Well, I appreciate that, Frank. So here's one way that Christians can definitely get involved, a very, very important way, is you find out when it comes to voting, you find out where the person stands on the issue of abortion. It used to be, I think even Joe Biden said this, Clinton said this, many politicians, while I'm against abortion personally, but not politically. You know, I'm against murder personally, but I think it's okay for other people to murder folks. No. Open your mouth for the dumb, Proverbs 31, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Do not ever vote for someone who is pro-death, for someone who is pro-abortion, for someone who says, I think it's okay for a mother to murder her unborn child, whether that is in consultation with her liberal pastor or her bloodthirsty doctor or whatever it might be. Don't do it, and don't vote for a person like that. Just I like what Adrian Rogers said about that. I wouldn't vote for my own mother if she were pro-abortion, and I echo that sentiment. And so that is one of the key issues of every issue in every election. Where does that person stand on the issue of life? And if they're for death, don't vote for them. And if we just did that, all Christians just did that, and quit trying to level out that issue with other issues. Well, yeah, but what does this candidate do for the poor? What do they think about the needy? There is no person more needy than the helpless unborn. And I've always likened it this way. You know, if you were on the Titanic, and you could come up with lots of things to complain about, perhaps, if you had been a passenger on the Titanic. But whether the soup was too salty or the towels were damp when you got them back from the laundry service, or whether the music was too loud, whatever, those things pale in comparison to the fact that there is a gash in the hull of the ship. We're taking on water and we're sinking. Whatever problems you could find on the ship, they were minuscule compared to the fact that the thing was sinking. And abortion is like that. It's a gash in the hull of the ship. And just as Dan Steiner said, now we're fighting with the abortion pill, the morning after pill that women are taking, get it in the mail, and they have no recourse, no medical assistance there, and the damage that they can do to their bodies is just horrific. It not only kills their baby, it could potentially kill them, and we need to do all we can to stand against that. So God bless you, and thank you for that encouragement, and we just know that, as Dan Steiner said at the top of the program, hey, we're standing on holy ground when we stand up for the unborn, because God is pro-life, and He's the one that knit us together in our mother's womb. And when we stand for life, we stand with the Lord. So thanks for calling in, Frank. Well, we have one more call, Arthur from Illinois. Arthur, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I was wondering if the prodigal son parable, the parable of the woman with the 10 coins, and then she lost one, and then there was one sheep that got lost, and they left the 99 to go find the one, if any of that points towards once saved, always saved, isn't true, because with the prodigal son, you know, he says he was lost, he's found, he was dead, now he's alive.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's teaching that. I mean, I think that's a good question, Arthur. I don't think it's teaching that. And here's the thing. The reason Jesus told the parable, it says, now all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And he told them this parable. And it was three parables. It's a parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and then the lost son. And actually lost sheep, and then lost coin, and then the lost son. But it was really told for the benefit of the Pharisees, because the key point is the elder brother would not rejoice when the younger brother came home. And I was thinking about that this morning. We have a tendency in the church to become elder brothers if we're not careful. And we need to become more like the Father. We need to rejoice over the prodigal returning. And we need to have ministries that welcome the prodigal who comes repentantly, brokenly, and comes back to the Lord. And we are there to help them and to encourage them and to celebrate the fact that they have put their faith and trust in Jesus. So thanks for that question. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And it is such a joy to be able to talk with you every morning. I look forward to being with you tomorrow as we talk to my friend Willie Spears, a guy that God is using in great ways. So go out, shine and share, and let the Lord use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.